Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see how many ducks we've got this morning, because it's definitely a day for the ducks. I have one or two intimations to share with you. Most of them are printed. The Guild tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock will be a matter of opinion. Musical memories slips are at the back of the church. Do please fill in your favourite hymn. What I plan to do in future is try and include someone's favourite hymn every couple of services, just to vary things up. So if you don't write them, I won't know what they are. A quick note that our Christian meditation group on Saturday mornings is normally 9:30. This coming Saturday, for a variety of reasons, we'll meet at 9 o'clock rather than 9:30, but that's just a one-off. And Life and Work magazine, which reminds me I haven't paid for mine yet, sorry Janet, but I will, is a real bargain, and actually I'm going to be reading a wee bit out of the latest one, because it's a great magazine, all sorts of interesting information in it. I've also, it seems a long time ago, but I've got a lovely thank you letter from the Salvation Army, which I'll just read out. To the members of Fourth Church, I'm writing to you today to pass on a sincere and heartfelt thanks for your generous donations this past Christmas. Every year, families face the pressure at Christmas, and many are at risk of Christmas poverty. SHOT's Salvation Army work each year to try and help where we can, to keep Christmas a time of joy, peace, hope, and love. We're always amazed at the generosity of the community in helping us with this. Christmas 2019 saw the largest demand we have ever had, with 42 families reaching out through our referral partners for help. This means parcels were made up for over 120 children from the SHOTS and Wishaw areas. We want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your help. Your generosity made a big difference on Christmas morning. Isn't that lovely? So thank you all very much for your generosity. The one other one which is not printed is that I realised that a month from today I will be arriving in Zambia for my two-week holiday. I'm delighted somebody left some Lego in the vestry for me this morning, which is lovely. But if anybody, it doesn't need to be new, if anybody's got any old, unused Lego, either ordinary Lego or the Duplo style, do please let me have it and I'll take it out for a project there. They're also looking for big jigsaws. Now, not big ones in having 1,000 pieces, but big ones that have got a small number of big pieces. So a sort of, I don't know, 10 or 15 piece jigsaw, but a big one, because they've got lots of ground to lay a jigsaw out on. So if anybody's got any of these, I'm going to be hopefully filling my suitcase with them before I go out. I think these are all the intimations. If I remember any others, I'll bring them up later on. We are here to worship God. God is love, and we are all his beloved children, even though sometimes we find that difficult to believe. We can only love one another because God first loved us. And his love is a perfect love which drives out fear. And he looks at each and every one of us and sees us as gorgeous. Our psalm for today is Psalm 27. So I thought, I'm hoping it will light, that as the first line is, "The Lord is my light and my salvation," I would try and light our candle. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? To gaze on the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Amen. So our first hymn is number 103 in the Purple Hymn Books, Fill Your Hearts with Joy and Gladness. Hymn 103. Morning, Caroline. Morning, Lewis. Morning, Jack. I have to go through all the islands till I get to you, because you're way up north, Lewis. Jack, morning, Jack. Morning, Andrew. Morning, Ewan. Morning, Callan. Aaron. You have to shoot me if I get the wrong name. There's all these Ewans, and oh, you're hiding back there. Ewans there. And we've got Katie, and we've got Jennifer, and we've got Kyle. So lovely to welcome you. I wonder what down to earth means to you. Anybody understand what down to earth means? If you're in space and you go down to Earth, that would definitely be a meaning of down to Earth. But it's one of these phrases that we adults probably all kind of know what it means, but can we put it into words? So I looked it up in the dictionary, and it says, down to Earth means being open and honest. So a person who's down to Earth says what they mean and means what they say. They don't tell lies. A person who is down to earth is easy to deal with. And it's much easier to speak to someone who tells the truth than someone who pretends to be something they're not. A person who is down to earth is a pleasure to find because he or she accepts people as equals. And I love that because in church we're always taught that we are all equal. We're all different, but we're all equally deserving of attention and respect. A down-to-earth person is the opposite of someone who acts important or proud. So we've got an idea of what down-to-earth means? Yeah. So you've been learning about Jesus. Well, you spoke about his childhood, and what did he help his dad with? Yes. Carpenter. And do you think carpenters are fairly down-to-earth people? Yeah, I think they really are, because they're working with wood. They're working with real things. I suppose the other thing, a down-to-earth person isn't airy-fairy. Does that mean anything to you, being airy-fairy? No, that doesn't mean anything. If you're always dreaming or thinking of what might be and never actually concentrating on what you're doing, then you're airy-fairy. Whereas the down-to-earth person pays attention to what they're doing. So what else did Jesus help with? I think Katie told me last week. What else did Jesus help with? What did he help his mum with? Well, we'll let Andrew answer. Working in the house, helping with all the housework. Yeah. So what were you learning last week? Because I haven't seen you since. What bit of Jesus' life did you find out about last week? When he was a child. Okay. And can you remember anything? So he was a child just like you, wasn't he?
But he didn't play
right. Did you know that? Jesus never played computer games. He had to play things like hopscotch, which is pretty down to earth, because you're hopping on the earth. Oh. Yeah?
He walked for, I think it was 4 days.
He walked for 4 days. Yeah. You guys think it's a long way to walk from the car to school, don't you? So walking for 4 days was a lot. And that's keeping down to earth. That's not flying in an aeroplane or whizzing along in a car. So why did Jesus walk for 4 days? Where did he get to? Yeah. Church. Or what was called the temple. So did you get any further in Jesus' life? What happened at the temple? He learned lots of stories, yeah, from the Bible. Just like you do. Lots of stories. So I think later in our service we're going to hear about Jesus calling his first disciples. And they were fishermen. Do you think fishermen would be described as down to earth?
No.
Maybe some, maybe not. Yes, no, down to earth fishermen. They depended on the weather. If the weather was bad, then they wouldn't be able to go out in their boats to fish. They depended on the fish being there. They depended on the water, and they weren't dreaming of other days and things were going to get better. They just got on and went out in their boat. And the other thing that fishermen had was they're really patient, because you can, I don't know if you've ever gone out fishing with anybody. I have in my days, and an awful lot of the time you're just sitting with your rod waiting. If you're fly fishing, you're casting all the time, but you can be out for hours and hours and never catch anything. And that's the sort of people that Jesus chose to follow him. Down-to-earth people who say what they mean and mean what they say. People who are not airy-fairy. People who are grounded, who live in the now, in today. So shall we have a word of prayer? And then I'm going to introduce you to a new song, which is called Down to Earth, in case you hadn't guessed. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Loving, living God, we thank you that your Son, Jesus, indeed came down to earth, and that he was a very, and is a very down-to-earth person. He says what he means, and he means what he says. The dreams he has are real, not airy-fairy. And the people he chooses to follow him are also down-to-earth. Open, honest people who are easy to deal with and who treat everyone equally. Lord, we thank you for all that we can learn from your word and say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So our new song comes from a CD written by a group called Fishy Music. I think you've had some Fishy Music ones in school. Have you ever done Down to Earth? Quite an old one, but I think it's lovely because we've all been talking about Jesus and who he is and how his life started. And this song tells us a lot about that. There's a lot of words in it, so I would suggest that we all listen to them and just join in for the chorus. And next week we'll do it again and we'll try and know a few more of the words. Okay, I think the words are up on the screen.
They came in search of great music, and this is what they found. Fishy News presents Down to Earth.
That's not quite right. It's more like this.
He could have been born in a royal palace and called Your Majesty. Worn a crown of diamonds and lived. And laid on a bed of hay. Not too many welcomed him on the very first Christmas day. He is down to earth. He is down to earth. The one who changed the world forever is down to earth. Big celebrities had anything he wanted, living as he pleased. But he made friends with the poor folks, with the sick and with the lame. He helped them with their problems and he called them all by name. He is down to earth. He is down to earth. The one who changed the world for. He could have been full of his importance and felt so very grand. His servants would have bowed and said, "Your wish is my command." But he wore a crown of thorns, gave everything he had. He gave his life that we might know the great love of his dad. He is down to earth. He is down to earth. The one who changed the world forever is down to earth. He is down to earth. He is down to earth.
done. For a first attempt, you did jolly well. So maybe next week we'll sing to it as well, because it's one of those tunes that you sing, dance to it as well. Right, we'll let you go and learn whatever you're going to learn next. Exciting times. Right, yeah, you recognise their voices. That door keeps getting stuck. It's just the weather, I know, but I meant to say. Let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you call us to come. You invite us to enter the kingdom of heaven, which is near. Don't worry about passports or currency, you say. And as for luggage, the less you take, the better. The borders are open day and night. There are no restrictions. Lord, we think this sounds too good to be true, that there must be some catch. There is no catch, you assure us. Since you are a loving God, your kingdom does require of its citizens that we should in turn love. First, loving you, then ourselves, then others, reaching out in ever-widening circles. Only this way can the joys of the kingdom be truly appreciated. Lord of the kingdom, forgive us, we pray, all the hardness in our hearts, all the resentments and stored injuries, and anything else which hinders us from growing as you would have us grow, from growing in love. Thank you, Lord, that you do forgive us and bring about in us such a radical change that we might walk with joy in your light as we follow you. Amen. Now, Miriam is going to read for us first our second reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Today, she will read verses 10 to 18, and then from Matthew's Gospel chapter 4.
A church divided over leaders. Appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household, have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still, another, I follow Christ. Christ divided. Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who have been saved, it is the power of God. Jesus begins to preach. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Jesus calls his first disciples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and the father and followed him. Jesus heals the sick. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness among the people. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Miriam. Our hymn before the sermon is one of my great favourites. In fact, we sang it at my induction. Hymn 532, "Lord, You Have Come to the Seashore." Let us pray. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. Is Christ divided? You're allowed to speak. No, of course not. Jesus Christ is probably the most together person ever. He is one, part of the unity and diversity that we call the Trinity. Jesus doesn't change what he says or how he acts according to who is watching and listening. As we read in Hebrews 3 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So why is his body, the church, divided? I guess the bottom line is because we're human. How could the church be perfect when it's made up of imperfect human beings like us? When Paul's speaking to the church at Corinth, and I warned you last week that that first passage was so positive and encouraging, and then he was going to get to the nitty-gritty. Well, this is where it starts. Paul speaks to the church at Corinth, identifying factions developing in their community as different members declare their allegiance to different leaders. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. I'm surprised that Paul didn't point out that Christ is in a whole different category. But he doesn't. He goes on to ask three questions. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? And were you baptized in the name of Paul? Now, I hope it's clear to all of us that the answer to each question is a resounding no. Yet the church worldwide is divided into many different groups and denominations, all claiming that we follow the one, Jesus Christ, yet at the same time asserting that the way that we do that is right, while your way is wrong. Or maybe if we're feeling generous, we might say, your way is different. All divisions are a symptom of the desire for Christians to outdo our neighbors, to have power over them. And that is the complete opposite of what the gospel teaches. The gospel is foolishness in the eyes of the world, because it teaches us to serve one another. It teaches us about suffering, weakness, and struggle shared together, for that is where God's power is. I was delighted that so many of you and of the Catholic people came along to our ecumenical songs of praise in St. Mary Magdalene's on Wednesday. Wasn't it a wonderful evening for those of you who were there? There was such warmth. It reminded me of Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. We had a glimpse of Christ's church undivided that night, and of a lovely, really down-to-earth leader in Father Hugh Kelly. And as I discussed with Jigsaw, I believe that Jesus is a really down-to-earth leader. Now, this week's gospel reading contrasts in some ways with last week's. We heard a different version of the calling of Andrew and Peter. Was one version, John's version, right, and Matthew's version wrong? I don't think so. I believe that each of the four Gospels tells the story of Jesus in slightly different ways, seeing it from a different angle, if you like, partly to ensure that we don't take every word literally, partly so that we're enabled to see the many paradoxes, and partly so we realize that we can only ever understand and know a small part of the gospel. We can only ever understand and know a tiny bit about God. I pointed out last Sunday that John does not mention repentance, and yet here in Matthew's gospel, we read that Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The Greek word that's translated repent in that place is an imperative, metanoite, and it's more accurately understood something like be of a new mind, or perhaps change your way of thinking. So rather than simply repentance being about changing our ways, about stopping whatever sins we've been committing, it's more about seeing and thinking as God does, rather than as humans do. It's about seeing a completely different kind of reality. God's revealed news, the news that in the cross of Christ, the unexpected reality of God's gracious love has broken into our fallen world. As Jesus said, the kingdom of God has drawn near. There is now light in the darkness. We can see more clearly all the faults and failings of our society. God wants to change us through his Spirit so that we reach out to one another, not with criticism or backbiting, but with love and acceptance, resulting in harmony and in our seeing one another through the eyes of Christ. I mentioned Life and Work. There's a lovely piece in the youth section by a young woman who's an elder in Arbroath St. Andrews, and she speaks about the importance of congregations in raising church families. I'm just going to read one paragraph, but I thought this was lovely. "I will never be able to thank my church family enough for the love that they have shown to my family in the last 2 years. She has a two-year-old boy. They are standing with us as we raise our little boy, not judging, not complaining, just loving, sowing the seeds of a faith that I hope will one day bear fruit." She says that church congregations should not undervalue the influence that we have on families and young children. And we are so fortunate in this church to have a number of young families. So let's always treasure them. Is Christ divided? Thank you. No. No, no, no. So if he's not divided, isn't it time for us to be reconciled within ourselves, with each other, and with God? Because that's what God's love makes possible. Amen. And let's continue our worship with the giving of our offerings. Let us pray. Loving, living God, if the only prayer we ever say in our entire life is thank you, it will be enough. We come to church each Sunday to say thank you to you, to draw closer to you, to support and encourage one another, and to share in our suffering, in our darkness, as well as in the light and the joy. For as you are not divided, so we are not divided. So, Lord, we ask that you receive these, our offerings, along with our worship, our prayers, and our everyday lives, our down-to-earthness, and use them all for the growth of your kingdom, here and forth and throughout the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Longing for light, we wait in darkness. Christ, be our light, shine in our hearts, and shine in our church gathered today. Let's stand, those who are able, and sing hymn 543.
Thank you.
Just before I begin our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession, I realise that I failed to mention, you all know that we were awarded £55,000 from the Town Centre Fund, mainly for improving our kitchen and providing a cinema. I'm delighted to say that the work is starting this coming week, so be warned, there will be some disruption in the halls and the kitchen from about Thursday onwards. Any groups who are going to be directly affected will be told directly. But let's, rather than mumping and moaning about a few days' disruption, let's thank God that all our prayers have been answered. Well, not all of them, but many of them. And work is at last starting. We're going to see changes for the better in our church and in our halls. So let's come before God in prayer. God of unity and diversity, unique and yet living within perfect community, Creator, Word and Spirit, one and three, three and one, dancing together in eternal unity and common purpose. We give you thanks that you invite us to share in the great dance of loving, living relationship with you and with each other. We thank you for the vast array of gifts you have given us, for the variety of ways you spark our imaginations, for delighting in each and every one of us, for calling us to yourself and naming us beloved and gorgeous. You are our light and our salvation, the very ground of our being, our guardian and our guide. We give you thanks that though many, yet in you we are one, of one faith, of one baptism, of one Lord. God of us all, you call us to follow. You call us to love. You call us to live as your people. Gathered together as your people, we now bring before you our concerns. Lord, we thank you that you hear all our prayers and that you know in this week ahead Brexit is going to happen. Lord, remind us that your word alone has power to save us. Make us your living voice. And so we pray for your world in all its extraordinary breadth and depth, with all its many wonders. Teach us not to take the astonishing beauty of your creation for granted. Help us to be more mindful of the ways in which we live on this planet. May our footprints be softer, our use of resources gentler. Remind us of our calling to live in harmony with creation. We pray for the places and peoples of this world. So many languages, cultures, traditions, so many ways of thinking, of doing, of being. Teach us to celebrate the different and not use it to cause division. Help us to respect one another as those who have been created in your image. May our words raise others up. Our actions bring healing, not hurt. Remind us of our calling to live as communities of peace and reconciliation. And we pray for your church, not made of stone, but of flesh and blood, flawed and fallible human beings. Teach us to see you, Christ, who unite us beyond differences in doctrine. Help as we accept each other, as those joined together through your Spirit. May our life together be marked by kindness and our purpose to love as you have loved us. Remind us of our calling to live as your kingdom here on earth, as it is in heaven. And let us say together the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And we'll close with hymn 509, for goodness knows whether there will be any tumult or a restless sea this week. Maybe it'll all be a storm in a teacup. But let's trust always in Christ, the undivided one. Hymn 509, Jesus calls us o'er the tumult. So as we go out into this week ahead, may we know that we are securely united in Christ. May we respect everyone who is different to us in whatever way. And may we love one another as Christ loves us. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit remain with us and help us today and forevermore.